Hi, moms. I'm Becca Carnahan.
And I'm Marie Tremblay.
We're two mom friends and career development professionals here to help you answer that big question. What do I want to be when I grow up?
Just because we're moms now doesn't mean we're all the way grown up yet.
I know I'm not.
Me neither. And we want to give you permission to grow, change, and evolve as a parent and professional.
By sharing real stories from real moms, including our own, we're going to help you navigate the motherhood identity shift, career changes, work-life balance questions, and more.
Are you ready to keep growing up with us?
Yes? Then let's do this.
Welcome back to part two of Shannon's story as we talk about staying-at-home moms who are thinking about joining back the paid workforce this
yes,
week.
Yes, we are excited to keep talking about Shannon. And we could probably give Shannon like 8 of her own episodes, but we're going to stick with 2 because there are so many different lived experiences of stay-at-home moms. And we're going to share one. We're sharing Shannon's story. So just a reminder of what her background is. So Shannon has been a stay-at-home mom for 8 years. She has an 8-year-old, a 7-year-old, a 5-year-old going into kindergarten. So that's her inflection point. She's thinking about returning back to the paid workforce now that her youngest is going into kindergarten. Her 3 boys are going to be off at school. And she is saying, okay, what's next for me? I'm excited. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm sad. I have a lot of emotions.
All at the same time.
Which we talked about last week. And as Marie shared last week, if you didn't listen to last week's episode, actually hit pause, go back and listen to last week so you can hear more about Shannon's story. And Marie shared a little bit of her story too, as a fellow stay-at-home mom who was returning back to the paid workforce.
Yes. And, you know, it's all about how to approach this at first. And I totally relate to Shannon's story. As I said last week, I've been mostly home with my kids for about 8 years. And it's really hard to think about your past working experiences and your skills.
Mm-hmm. And probably how you translate that back onto a resume or onto LinkedIn. Marie and I talked about this as she was kind of re-upping her LinkedIn profile. And for Shannon, it was her resume and her LinkedIn profile. Where do we go from here? So let's talk about that. Let's talk about this idea of filling a quote-unquote resume gap. Mm-hmm. Then we'll talk about LinkedIn specifically too. But for Shannon, that's one of the things she was worried about. She was worried about how to write a resume. Well, first of all, she did all of her foundational work. She figured out
the framework, the four steps, which were
uncovering her career sweet spot. She did that. Then she got into crafting her career criteria. So what she really knew that she wanted to do, or kind of fast forwarding Shannon's story here, is that she really did like education, but she was interested maybe not in going back and working at a university full time, but what made sense for her and for her family was looking for a part-time position.
Oh yeah, that's such a good way to ease back into it too.
Yeah, it was great for her. It worked really well for her family, what she needed in terms of flexibility. So she was looking for a part-time role in education. So that was the passion area with education. She really loved this space, looking for a part-time role. Those are some of her key career criteria. And she had been in admissions before, but a lot of her admissions work was in marketing and doing really interesting writing. So she was looking for a role where she could do more like in the communications side of higher education or in K-12 education. So she had a pretty good target. She was able to start to identify some opportunities, some different places where she could network. And now she was getting into the resume of how she was going to submit applications online or be able to share her resume with folks who could potentially hire her for a role. And that's when she started to panic a little bit.
Yeah.
And say, okay, but what do I actually put on this resume? I worked in higher education 7 years ago. What do I put on this resume for the past, or I guess it was 8 years ago, what I put on this resume for the past 8 years?
And she's obviously done many, many, many things, being home with her 3 boys.
Yeah. So what I told Shannon and what I tell every stay-at-home parent who comes through my virtual door, when they say that they have a resume gap, I say, no, you don't. And they say, but Becca, yes, I do. And I say, no, you don't. And they look at me kind of strange. And I say, okay, let's think about the past 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, however it's been. What have you been doing? over that time period. And without fail, they will always tell me, well, here are all the things that I was doing with my family. And here are the volunteer experiences that I had too. I was also really active with my kids' school. I was leading this committee. I was coaching a team. I was part of this organization. And I said, yeah? And they look at me like, oh, right. But does that count? That's what they say. They say, does that count?
Yeah, I think that frustrates you a little bit.
And I'm like, yes, it does. It counts. Yes, it does.
Yes, please, it counts.
Yes, please, it counts. Unpaid work is work. We talked about this last week a little bit, that Shannon was doing a lot of unpaid work that was hugely valuable. So what we start to think about for a resume like Shannon's is, okay, what are those organizations that you are a part of? You worked really closely with the PTA and you were really doing a lot with interacting with the school committee during this time, and you want to go work in education.
I mean,
boom, yeah. There you have it. You've naturally been drawn to different opportunities and different organizations or volunteer situations because you have a passion for them. Whether you have sat down and done this work of identifying your passions yet or not, you know deep down like why you've been drawn to certain activities, and that's very likely going to be aligned with what you want to do next.
What you want to do next.
So it's really natural. Mm-hmm. So we put her volunteer work on her resume. It was there front and center so that it could show her higher education, paid work experience, but it also showed her experience working in a K-12 school system as a volunteer.
Wow. And what about all the skills that she developed, like being with her children?
Yeah. Yep. And it wasn't in Shannon's situation, but with other people who have done resumes of returning back to this paid workforce, being a stay-at-home parent. I'm thinking of one story in particular where she was caring for a child who had a lot of additional medical needs and did a lot of working with hospitals and doctors. She was advocating for her child. And what we actually did on her resume, because her target, she realized, was healthcare, she wanted to go work within the healthcare sphere after doing all this work for so many years advocating for her child. We put her work as a full-time caregiver on her resume.
Of course.
Yeah. And we specifically included that, and not just saying full-time caregiver and then the dates. That's not the end of it. We gave specific examples of the work that she did during that time period as essentially a patient advocate, how she was understanding the healthcare system. So she had all of this great stuff from her lived experience. No one was paying her for it, but someone might pay her for it to do that exact same work.
Wow. And don't hesitate to, that's what you're saying, don't hesitate to put these things forward.
Yes.
To tell your story.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's the experience section of a resume. That's what most people are worried about, is the gap on their experience section. But the point that you brought up earlier, Marie, about the skills, I actually always include a skills section on a resume too. Mm. And those skills, here's what you should do with this. Think about all the skills. So we did this in the career sweet spot exercise. What are all the skills that you have acquired from your paid and unpaid work experience? You have a big old list now that we've done together. Look at the types of jobs that you're interested in and look at some job descriptions. Talk with people who have those jobs. What skills make them really successful? Match up your list, and maybe it is the organizational skills that you have, the event planning skills that you have, your communication, or there could be any number of skills that you have from your lived
prioritizing or work also.
Yes.
You know, you're a chaos manager.
Oh,
being home with your kids.
Chaos manager is a a full-time job and a really big skill. So we just need to look at what skills you have, compare them to the skills that they're explicitly stating on job descriptions, or people who are in this field of work say are most important, and then you include them on a skills or areas of expertise section on your resume right near the top. Before you even get into your experience section, I like to have a summary, which is usually like a 2 to 3 line kind of intro, set the narrative for your resume, a skills section, and then get into the experience so that you're not letting just a list of jobs tell your whole story. You're taking charge of telling your story with your summary, with your transferable skills, and then including your unpaid work as part of your experience.
That's amazing.
And it's
such a good way to think about it. Yeah,
it totally works.
And as we said, you're not alone in this. We mentioned there are about 19% of parents mm-hmm. in the U.S. that are staying at home.
Yeah.
Talk about a pool of talent right there.
A huge pool of talent. And we should add here that there are a lot of resources for stay-at-home parents who are looking to return back to the paid workforce.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about iRelaunch because it's been really helpful for me, and they even offer these that I didn't even know about it years ago, but they offer the returnships.
Yes, returnships. If you haven't heard of these before, these are opportunities that companies like iRelaunch and some other companies out there will do, where they'll work with companies to set up kind of internships, but they're like longer term assignments for parents who have taken a career break, or maybe it's not parents, maybe you're caring for elderly parents and you took a career break and
anybody
you're
returning who has a career gap.
Yes. And you're looking to make that return. They structure these programs so that you are coming into a contract or a short term assignment. You have a lot of mentorship and training. But you're getting back into an industry maybe that you were in before, or switching industries. Mm-hmm. So these programs are recognizing your transferable skills, all of the great value add that you bring, and helping you make connections with organizations who really value your talent. They're not hiring you out of the good of their heart.
It's a win-win situation.
Yes, yeah. Because you are really talented. So I'm glad you brought up returnships, because I think that's a really interesting term that I'm sure most people listening, unless you are career nerds like you're listening to right now, you're not going to have heard of returnships before. But now you have. Congratulations. Mm-hmm. That's something that you can add to your portfolio of different ideas, as well as contract work, project work, part-time positions. There's so much different stuff in the market outside
that you can
of,
explore.
Yeah. Outside of just going back to a full-time 40-hour a week in the office job.
Yeah. So talking about resources, I feel like we have to address LinkedIn.
Yes.
And we talked about it a bit before, but I had lost my account. Mm-hmm. And I found it really hard to go back and rebuild these connections and get to that number of 500 at some point. But can you help us understand how to get back at it?
Yes.
How to use the tool in the best way.
Yep. And LinkedIn doesn't have to be scary. We can make LinkedIn really accessible. So let's say you're just starting out on LinkedIn. You've never used it before, or you're creating a brand new account. The very first thing I'm going to suggest that you do is make sure that you have a photo up there. There's statistics that show that people who have a photo on their LinkedIn profile get so many more views. I wish I had the specific number of their profile. But you're using LinkedIn essentially as a tool for getting more visibility into, because LinkedIn, if you Google your name, your LinkedIn profile is probably going to show up really high on the list, because LinkedIn has great search engine optimization. So you want to have a profile that has your picture and your work experience. So that's like the basics. Let's include a headshot. It doesn't need to be a professional headshot. You don't need to go get professional photos taken, but if you have your Christmas card photo,
if you want, you can.
Yes. We can recommend some photographers for you. Email us and we'll give you some photographers. But you can also put on a nice shirt, go outside and ask your partner, can you take a nice photo of me from like the upper torso or mid torso up? And then you can crop it. The outside light is really nice. And it's just you. You don't need to take a cropped photo from a vacation or something like that. You can have a photo just of you that you feel comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, that's done. Put in your past work experience. Where'd you work before? Just plug in the organizations, connect them to the organizations. You can search for the organizations you worked for before.
Mm.
Include them in with the dates. Great, you have some of the basics done.
So then do you start there for your first connections?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. The people who already know
your alma mater,
So you've included your education, you've included your basic experience, and you can go back to people that you worked with before, your friends from college, your neighbors, and just start to build up some connections here. And the reason why it's important, beyond it being really searchable, if someone's looking for your name, they see your LinkedIn profile, the more people that you're connected with on LinkedIn, the more potential introductions that they could make to other people on LinkedIn. And it can be a really, really powerful tool. There was a statistic that said like every minute, three people are hired from LinkedIn.
Wow, which is a lot.
It's a lot. Yeah. So it's worth your time to work on your resume and then go over to LinkedIn, get your picture, your experience, and then look to see what you already wrote in your summary section on your resume. And you can copy that over into your about section. You can expand on it a little bit so you have some more space. Write it in the first person on LinkedIn to make it a bit more conversational. And then you can include the skills that we already did on your resume. You can include them in a skills section. So already there, maybe we're talking 45 minutes of work right now to get your LinkedIn profile at least have some of the basics.
It's doable.
And then we can go back and make some changes. We can think about how you're targeting your headline, which is what shows up right underneath your name on LinkedIn.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
That's hard. Let's do a whole episode on LinkedIn and headlines and all of that.
We could.
Because it's a really important marketing tool. But if you're just trying to get some of the basics right now with LinkedIn, that's where I would go. Just don't overthink it. Mm-hmm. Put your picture up there. Put your experience. And go from there.
I feel like I have to address the fact that please don't feel when you're watching other people's profiles, don't feel bad about it.
Yeah,
you've been out of the workforce for a long time, and you might find these connections from your college years, and then you're like, oh my gosh, look at where she is or where he is. Or don't do that.
Nope.
Measure. How do you say that? Measure your.
With your own ruler.
With your own ruler.
Yeah. There was a great, it was Liz Follen, I think, who wrote like a great little cartoon about measuring with your own ruler, which I just loved. And you are going to see people who have done, because like Instagram or any other social media, people put the highlight reel on social media. But this actually works to your favor. If you know these people who have done really interesting things in their career, they know you and like you. Maybe they can make introductions for you. Actually, give yourself some credit for knowing these people who have done some other interesting things in the paid workforce that you can reconnect with. This is a good thing.
That's a good way to see this.
Mm-hmm. And you can also put caregiving on your LinkedIn profile too. That's an option.
Yeah, it's been introduced a few years ago. I think it was a big reveal on LinkedIn.
Yep.
So, big recognition too.
Exactly. They're kind of addressing that resume gap question right off the bat there on LinkedIn. So when we think about using your time in your job search, I think that's just an important thing to, as we kind of close up today, is trying to find these little 15-minute chunk activities that you can do. So
I love that you keep it real, Becca. It's like a 15-minute chunk. You can do this. 45 minutes work on LinkedIn. You definitely can.
You can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can look at your resume, take it in chunks, do your about section, put your experience in, then walk away from it. Mm-hmm. And then come back when you're ready to do your LinkedIn profile. Set these little 15-minute chunks for yourself on your calendar. And know that if I do this 15 minutes today, I have done something really productive. And that's going to be the same thing with when you're reaching out to people, when you're spending your time in networking or spending your time getting ready to submit an application somewhere. Just chunk it out so that you don't feel like you need to spend an entire Sunday doing job search stuff, because then that's when you really get burnt out with it and your confidence starts to tank because I say, oh my gosh, I just spent all day on this and I haven't gotten anywhere yet. But if you spend small chunks during the week, you're actually going to make more progress and keep your confidence level high. So as we wrap up today talking about resumes and LinkedIn and all that, let's just circle back to Shannon for a second and let you know where she ended. We always like to give you the happy endings of these stories here too. And for Shannon, she did get her resume and her LinkedIn good to go. Mm-hmm. But the most important part of her job search was reaching back out to her network, the people who had done other interesting things, like Marie said, that she found on LinkedIn. And that led to having conversations with folks who were working in private schools in the area who weren't necessarily looking to hire someone full time, but they had a lot of communications needs. And she was able to really kind of propose her own role with these organizations, these schools, where she could do some communications work for them on a contract basis. She's doing it part time. It's remote work. She's going into the school once in a while to meet with people. But it's been such a great transition point mm-hmm. for her to have this kind of contract role that is adding additional experience, reinvigorating her network, and allowing her to think about how she wants to use her skills in the next chapter of her career.
And diving back into her confidence too.
Oh yeah, she's feeling so good.
Yeah.
And that's what we want for all of you, is to feel really good because you're amazing. Thanks for tuning in to When Mommy Grows Up. If you're interested in learning more about how career coaching can help you along your journey of growing up as a mom and professional, head over to BeccaCarnahan.com/free training for a free training on how to make your mid-career change 4 steps to more fulfillment and flexibility.
You can contact us at podcast@nextchaptercareers.us if you have questions, comments, or want to share your story for some coaching on the show. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review and make sure you follow us on your favorite podcast platform. We'll be here every week with coaching stories and two mom friends in your corner